Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
But this has been a lot of fun, and I know now football season has officially really started. Right now we're really getting into it. And baseball is still kind of winding down, and I was reminded this week of a story I heard a long time ago about a team. And this team was much smaller than the team they were playing, and it was one of those opportunities where the game was kind of out of hand. Some of y'all know exactly what that's like. And they put in this little running back, and his name was Calhoun. And the coach sent in the play, and he said, let Calhoun run the ball. And the quarterback got up, and he handed the ball to somebody else. And the coach said, go in there and tell him to give Calhoun the ball. This happened on second down, third down, and then fourth down. So the quarterback came jogging off, and coach said, I told you to let Calhoun run the ball. He said, coach, Calhoun didn't want to run the ball. Calhoun knew if he ran that ball, then big boys was going to hit him. See, sometimes I think our life in the church is like that. We expect people to play roles maybe they aren't gifted to play. But here's the thing. Calhoun knew he was a member of that team, and he had a role to play. His role was just not getting hit by those linebackers on game day. So that's kind of going to be where we're going today. We've already looked at getting on the field, getting in the game means we have to deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow Jesus. And then last week we looked at if we're going to be great, we have to serve. So this week we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at what Paul's telling the church in Ephesus about being on the team of Christ, being a member of the body. If you're using one of our Bibles, that's on page 951. If you're in your own Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Hear the words of the apostle from our Holy Scriptures today. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So the best teams I have ever been on, whether that was the state championship team that I played on in high school, or whether that was some of the more successful teams that I coached on, they had some things in common. They were unselfish. They knew what their role was. It was never about them. They built each other up, and they always accomplished more than people expected them to. The bad news is I've been on some pretty terrible teams too. And those teams were selfish. They were worried about what everybody else was doing wrong. They underachieved. And they were always focused on the individual. You see, every team has needs that most people will never know about. Calhoun might have been the best practice running back you've ever seen. And sometimes in every team that you pull for, every game that you see, every game that comes on, there's a group of people who never play that help prepare that team for victory. That's why when a team wins a championship, they have to buy way more rings and medals and stuff than they do for the people you see on the field and whose merchandise you can buy. You see, I can remember some of the best players I ever coached never got on the field. But they did everything they could to make their teammates better. Whether that was working hard at practice, or let me see if I can put this in a baseball-friendly way, picking up the tendencies of coaches, because you never steal any kind of signs or anything in a game like that, right? But that was their, as a matter of fact, I talked to a young man a week ago, and he says, I don't miss playing. You know what I miss? I miss sitting in the dugout and being sneaky and watching the other coaches to see what they're doing. And I was like, whoever misses that? And this kid actually missed that. But today we see the words of the Apostle Paul that the local church is very similar to every competitive team that we can view or watch or cheer for. Verse 12, he says this about the apostles, the teachers, the preachers, the pastors, all those that he lists. He says, their job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ. Did you know that's what your role is here at this church? And if this is not your church and you're a guest of ours, I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe you're here because God's working through maybe an invitation or something else, and the Holy Spirit has you here for a reason. And we may never know what that reason is, but I believe that. But I also know that your job, your role, your responsibility is to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a term we use in a lot of Christian circles, and it's kind of weird, isn't it? What do you mean, the body of? That's really weird. The Apostle Paul clears it up for us a little bit in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, many functions, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. You see, you know that I'm very proud to be the pastor of this church. You also know that much deeper than that, my roots of Methodism and Wesleyan theology are deep. But the church is so much bigger than that. Every church that will gather in the name of Christ is part of one body, one Savior, one Lord. And we just have a little bit different functions and how we do those things. But Paul goes on and he kind of gets more into detail about the local church. He says, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot was to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing come from? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. Now I know you don't want to think of yourself as the shoulder of the church here at Emmanuel, or the index finger, or the left pinky toe. But we're all part of a body. And I should have brought in the skeleton, but I didn't want y'all to run out so we could see. But the problem with teams and the problems with churches have best been described to me by a coach in this analogy. Said, imagine at the beginning of the year, you're standing there together with this huge boulder, this huge stone. And we're all going to push it up a big hill. Guess what? It's going to take every single person to get it up that hill. Well, here's some of the problems: that there's poor buy-in or commitment. Now, I want you to think for a minute, if we were responsible for pushing that big stone up a hill and only 20% of us gathered here today were actually pushing, and 80% were sitting around going, I wish they'd push faster. I can tolerate that for so long, but once that sweat gets going and that temperature gets rising, I'm going to be pretty upset that more people aren't pushing. Now think about it this way. Think about your favorite team. And yesterday, if 80% of the people allowed to be on the field, like Haley said, just sat down. For some of us, our team, 100% of the people sat down at some point. And that didn't work out very good. But what if for once 100% was pushing in the same direction? You think we'd be more successful? We'd be more successful. Another common thing is we focus on the individual. Teams get that way. I want my stats. I want the touchdown. I did this. I watched a young man yesterday. He intercepted a pass and he started sprinting towards the end zone and he started celebrating because look what I did. And guess what he did? He dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. And his teammate scooped it up, and nobody ever gave him credit for it. But in the book, if you'll go back and look, the teammate got credit for the touchdown. And this guy's over here dancing and hooping and hollering and woo, all this. We get so focused. Well, what if this? The eye's job is to see. The ear's job is to hear. The mouth's job is to speak. The nose job is to smell. Now, what if in our church, we not only knew what role we were called to play, we played it. How well would the body function? Think about this. Our body, look, we're at a healthy church. Let's say that first and foremost. This has not always been a healthy church, but we're healthy right now. But we're not perfect, are we? You've never been to a perfect church. You'll never be one until Jesus is standing here before us. But what if the whole body worked together? How much more could we accomplish? I could rattle off things that some of you are tired of hearing them because you know, and some of you would be like, my goodness, if I'd have known all that, I may have never visited here. Of all the things that God has done in 3.5 years, but how much more is He capable of doing if we work as one body? Another problem when pushing that stone uphill or with teams or with churches is we don't understand the goal. Now I want you to think, what if half of us thought the goal was to get the rock up to a little plateau halfway and we stopped at that point? Do you know what the hardest thing to do is? Get the rock moving again. It's not that hard to get it moving the first time, but once you're tired and it stops, whew, that's a chore. But what if we all knew the goal is to get to the top of the hill? The goal is to win games, right, for a team. Our goal here is to become first the disciples Jesus has called us to be. And then to go out and make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I love that. Because our world needs some transformation. Some people get on the team for the wrong reason. Did y'all know that? I promised, I made a vow that I would never be that dad. I've coached some kids, and the only reason they played, even in high school, well, my daddy made me come out here. That kid's miserable. And then daddy's mad because he's not doing great. But we do that to our kids. We get them out there, and we force them to do things that they don't want to do. You know, sometimes I think, sadly, we've forgotten. I don't think it's that we don't know. I think we've forgotten why this is our church, why this is your church. See, because some of you, you're third, fourth generation people, so you may just say, well, I go to this church because my family went to this church. No, 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 you go to this church for something far greater than this. This is where God planted your feet, and this is where God called you to make a difference. See, some of you, you've just been coming for a little while, and maybe you're starting to wonder, now I'm really unsure why we're coming to this church. You're coming to this church because God's got something special for you planned here, and I can't wait to be a part of it. There's some times, even still, and over the last 3 years as I evaluated myself this week, I've done a really bad job at fulfilling my job. See, the scripture tells me my job is to equip you to do ministry, not to do it for you. And I know that you don't want to hear that. The Word of God tells us that the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles, they all are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. See, that's the expectation of God, the one who called me into this profession. And I've had to learn to accept that's the only expectation that matters to me. Because I'm going to let you down. Some of you can tell that. At lunch today, you could tell stories the whole time of how I've let you down. But that's the faith that I have, and that's why I think this is so beautiful, is I don't have to be the head of this. Hear what Paul said. He said, we must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind or doctrine. We can't be so immature in our faith that we don't think we have to serve anymore. And he continues by going, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way. We must become more mature in our faith into him who is the head, Christ. Do you want to know why we have success here and why we will forever have success here? As long as we remember one thing. It's not Wesley quotes. It's not the beautiful Charles Wesley hymns. It's not our friendly nature. It's not our charming and hilarious pastor. It's that Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And as long as we're working towards that, the world can never defeat us. I love the way the New Living Translation puts this. They say, verse 16, they said this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Now, you find yourself in two groups today. You're here and you're trying to figure out what it is that brings you here. Or you call this your church. If you're here and you're not real, you're a guest, technically, we want you to know this. We want you to be family because you already are. As soon as you walk in that door, you became part of this big dysfunctional family for as long as you're here. But if this is your church, I want you to answer some really tough questions to yourself. Do you want your church to be healthy? Do you want your church to be growing in our quantity and our quality? We could never grow again statistically, but if we get closer to Jesus and we serve better and our body functions right, praise God. And do you want people to say that we are full of love? If you answered yes to any of those, the question is, what are you doing to make sure it happens? You see, here's what I'm going to give you today. I've given you something every week. And if you didn't get the get into the game at Emmanuel list of things, the ways to serve, they're still back there. There's extra copies. There'll be extra copies the whole time we're doing this. Today, when you get to the door, this podium with these pink packets will be on there. This is a spiritual gift assessment inventory. And I'm not going to make you take it. I'm not going to make you take it. But if you want to find out, maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Maybe you're still trying to figure out if you got one. Scripture says you have one, so don't argue with that. There's some simple questions on here, and it tells you to put a 3, 2, 1, or 0. And then it explains to you how to score it up. If you don't want to score it up, you fill it out, bring it to me, I'll score it up for you. We use this in confirmation. It's from the confirmation book that we use. So some of it's going to talk about like classwork and stuff like that. Just change that for however that fits you. But I think sometimes we don't know how we can serve. We don't realize that a gift that we have is actually maybe what we need. You see, we've been very blessed that we've had people come up with new ways to serve people. I'm proud to tell you that next week we'll begin, and you'll get your paper to start praying for the teachers and the staff members over there. We had somewhere between 25 and 30. Somewhere between 25 and 30. And last week, we're going to give them one more week to turn it in. And look, we wanted 93. We're going to pray for 93 whether they send a paper over here or not. Right? But man, we are so lucky and blessed to have the body of Christ that we have here. But each and every one of us has a role to play. So find the role God's prepared for you. Because if he's prepared it for you, he'll equip you to do it. And then let's each and every one of us, all 100%, get in the game and become more like Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.